In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Of course, none of us live underneath a rock or in a cave. Obviously, we know what's going on in the world. The world is just in an uproar because of this COVID-19 pandemic. And Orthodox Christians, to varying degrees, are saying we need the Holy Mysteries. We need to find a way to be able to have the Holy Mysteries. And then other Orthodox Christians are saying, well, look at St. Mary of Egypt. She, to our knowledge, had communion twice. Probably when she was baptized. Then she never saw the church again until the day of her repentance. And she communed on that day. And then she communed just moments before, maybe an hour before she died, in the second time that she saw Abba Zosimus. So a maximum of three times she had Holy Communion. And by her own account, she was in the desert for 47 years, repenting of her life of depravity, and only had communion three times. So the argument is that for some people, they say, well, she can do that. So these two arguments, I think, are missing the point. One is, oh, we have to have communion. And the other is, well, Mary didn't need communion. And it's missing the point about her life. I've read her life many times besides in church and kind of made a study of the numbers and everything, that she was a prostitute and worse by her own admission for 17 years. She began to be depraved at 12 years old, and that she lived in the desert for 47 years to the time she saw, I think, Abba Zosimus the first time. And she, for 17 years, so equally to her depravity and her repentance, she was beset by these incredible desires for, as she called them, embraces. I like her, how delicate she was in referring to her sin. She thirsted for embraces. She wished to have the meat and the fish and the wine that she had so much of. She remembered all those drinking songs that everybody sang when they were drunk. And she remembered all those things and had such a desire that her flesh would actually just tremble and burn. So she would be a day and a night on the ground, burned up by the sun, frozen by the frost, until there would be a light that would descend upon her. The grace of the Holy Spirit would then give her relief. So the point is not that St. Mary could go without communion for 47 years and then what are we crying about? There's only a couple weeks into this pandemic and et cetera, et cetera. That's not the point. The point of her life, if we want to talk about her life and that she didn't go have communion for 47 years, let's talk about the really important things about her life that we should apply to our life. First of all, when she was still a sinner, but beginning to come to herself, just like the prodigal son, when she had that moment of recognizing how filthy her life was, she made a promise. She made a promise to the Mother of God as to God Himself. And she promised her that she would go wherever the Mother of God told her to go if she could go and venerate the cross of her son. By the way, the cross was intact in this period, and it's clear from the life that they're describing Matins and what we do in Matins. Now, Matins is, in many places of the world, a morning service. The Russians more often do it as an evening service together, like we're going to do tonight. But at the end of that service, the cross is brought out, just like we have the cross before us, and we do prostrations before the cross, singing Before Thy Cross. I'm not sure if they sang it then or not, but she's definitely describing what was happening in Matins. So she comes into the church, venerates the cross, and then she keeps her promise. Now, when we keep a promise, I don't think we should say we've kept it. I think we should say we are keeping it. And that's what she did. Because when she was filled with lust and all those things that are not holy at all, in the desert, what did she do? She remembered the one to whom she had given her vow. Have you given a vow? Have you vowed to Jesus Christ or to the Mother of God or to one of the saints? Have you vowed that you would stop something or maybe become something that you're not? Have you made a promise? I made a promise. We all made a promise. You made at least one promise in a formal way, and I made a promise twice in a formal way. The first promise was baptism, that we would run away from evil and seek to do good, that we would humble ourselves, that we would follow the commandments. We made promises. Those are promises, as much as St. Mary's promise was a promise. And yet, it's very easy for us, poor sinful people, to forget these promises. But we made them. And then I made a promise as a priest, and I served poorly as a priest. But we're trying to do better. I'm trying to do better. And we're trying to serve a lot, especially during this time of pandemic. Not merely because we want to serve a lot when there's trouble, and other than that, we're just going to fool around. But because this is a time when Christian people should especially seek after God, and the priest must lead the people to do this. So if I tell you to pray, I better be doing it myself and doing as much as possible in the church and also at home. So the first point I want to make about St. Mary's life is she made a promise. That's way more important than whether or not she could go 47 years without the Holy Mysteries. Way more important. If you don't make a promise and keep it, you could have the Holy Mysteries every single day of your life and fall into hell. She made a promise and she kept it. And we should watch that we keep our promises. I like to keep promises. I like to make promises and keep them. It's sort of a thing for me. It started when I was a Protestant and when people would say to me, I'll have you in prayer. And then I'd see them a week later or something. We didn't even know each other's names. It's like, I didn't understand this. It was sort of like polite to say, I'll have you in prayer. And I found myself once in a while saying that, but it seemed so hackneyed that I gave it up. But I thought, if I say I'll have you in prayer, I better have you in prayer. So I started writing people's names down. If I said that I would pray for them, I wrote their name down as quick as I could and prayed for them. And if I promise I'd pray for them forever, then I pray for them forever. I promised to probably about 600 people that I would pray for them forever because they're on Daniel's list. So I pray for them forever, every day. I like other promises too. Like for instance, we have 29 groups of people that are praying for one another by doing a prostration. That's a promise we've made. Promise that we would pray for that person with a prostration every day. It's important to keep that promise. Now I'll admit to you freely, unfortunately, there was a day that I did not say those prayers. It's best if I do it early in the morning, but things got out of hand. It's more busy now than it's been, and I didn't say them. And it got to be night, and out of weakness, I fell asleep. So the next day, I'm not trying to be legalistic here or anything. I'm saying that this is where we say our promises are important. The next day, I did double the prostrations. For each line, every person, I prayed for them twice. And I'm not trying to brag or anything. I'm just saying that if we should really have promises in our life, and they should be a big deal. They were a big deal to Mary. Perhaps that's not a very pious way to say it, but Mary remembered her promise every day, and it saved her, even when she really wanted to go back to the city and get back into sin. She remembered her promise. Another thing about her, of course, is her extreme effort. Of course she did things that were completely impossible without the grace of God. You don't have 3 loaves and eat literally half of a loaf the first day and live on them for 3 or 4 years. And you don't live in the desert by just grabbing up a few plants here and there. But God allowed her to live. Now there are people, unfortunately, that they don't believe such things. I believe every word of the life of St. Mary of Egypt, every single word. I absolutely know it's true. And it shows what God will do with a person who has effort. One of my favorite sayings to people is this. I guess people would make fun of me. I have 100 favorite sayings. But this is one thing that I say a lot of. You must do what you can do so that God will help you to do what you cannot do. You can't do what you can't do. It's not possible. If you're not strong enough to lift a weight, you can't lift it. But you can lift 3/4 of that weight and get stronger to lift, you know, maybe 90% of that weight, and eventually you can lift the weight. It's the same thing in the spiritual life. You do what you can do. If we don't do what we can do, God will judge us terribly. We must do what we can do, but with the idea that we're going to be able to do what we cannot do. And that's what Mary did. Mary went to the desert and she could at least lay on the ground and she could cry out to God. She could still have all those thoughts in her head and all those songs in her head and all that desire and the complete lust in her body such that she shook. But she could stay put. She could keep her promise. That's all she was able to do. That's quite a lot, actually. And then she was eventually able to be like an angel without any sexual desire whatsoever, no depravity, no impurity in her whatsoever. But here comes the third thing that I think is more important than whether or not she had communion for 47 years. Her deep humility. So she met Abba Zosimus, and she had the insight to know why she met Abba Zosimus. She knew his name. She knew he was a priest. She knew the custom at the monastery. She knew that he would eventually bring her communion and even participate in burying her. She knew all these things. And yet, when he prevailed upon her to tell her story, she said she was afraid. She was afraid to think of those things again because of her deep humility. So those are the things I think we should remember about Mary a whole lot more than whatever is being said in social media, that Mary went without communion, so it's not a problem. That's not an issue. That's not something even to be worried about. What we should worry about is we should be more like Mary. We should keep our promises. We should struggle, give great effort in things, and do the things you can do. And be humble. Not just be humble that we don't brag and stuff, but we're humble in that we realize that we can't do anything without God. If we have these things, then we have great grace. I've said in a couple pastoral letters, I think, that this is a time, and I've said it a couple other times besides, I really believe this with all my heart, this is a time of great grace for us. Are we going to squander this opportunity, or are we going to take hold of it with both hands? And are we going to become better because of this? We have more time at home. We have knowledge of people that are suffering. Are we increasing our prayer, increasing our oomph, increasing our effort? Are we struggling to pray even when we're not coming to church? Or, you know, are we watching Netflix or whatever instead of going to church? This opportunity might be the only one in your lifetime, or perhaps it's just a dress rehearsal for other things to come. God knows that. God knows that. I'm not that concerned about that. By the way, I saw an interesting thing that a bishop, I don't know him, but the bishop said to his flock, he said, you're forbidden to look into anything about the coronavirus longer than 15 minutes a day. I guess that's pretty good advice. You know, if you just read about the coronavirus and my goodness, you can just start to lose your brains, you know, just go crazy over it. Because everybody's got different opinions, and this guy's a terrible guy, and that guy's a terrible guy, and this is a lie, and that's a lie, and da-da-da. What does it matter? What matters is that we must pray, we must increase our intensity during this period of time. That's what's important about about this time when many people are not able to have Holy Communion. It's not about Holy Communion. It's about, are we going to take advantage of this opportunity for grace? I beg that we do. May God help us. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.